A podcast to honor the gods.
This better come with a sacrifice.
Deus Ex Media.
I'm Christina Kahn.
And I'm Leela Hilton.
And this is Burn Before Reading, the podcast about shitterature.
We're here again to examine the terrible writing we did when we were younger and talk about some other cringy literary topics.
Our guest today is our friend Takenna. She, her. Say hello to the listeners, Takenna.
Hello, everyone.
Y'all might remember Takenna from, oh my gosh, Mormon sex drama. What else did we do? Oh, Making the Boots Fit. I don't remember the name of that episode, but wow. Some really juicy stuff. And we just are so happy to have you back, Takenna.
Yeah, I'm really happy to be back. It's always fun to record and relive my terribly dramatic teenage life.
And we love it. Oh, these boots are no longer made for walking.
So harsh.
Classic.
Nice.
So good. Go ahead.
Yeah. I was just about to say, what did you bring us? And skip over the entire cringe. Takenna, what's cringing you out this week?
Okay, so I told you guys in the pre-recording, I'm going to tell you two stories. So my first story is from last week. This has never happened to me, which is surprising because I am twice over a mom. But I was going to the bathroom and like on my way to the bathroom, sneezed and legit let out a ton of pee.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, this has never happened to me. Like,
it happens to the best of us. We were also talking about pelvic floor exercises. Yeah. Hey, girl.
You're not alone, girl.
I was very like, are you fucking kidding me? Because
startles you.
I was in the downstairs bathroom, so I had to take off my pajamas and put on like a towel to go upstairs and put on different clothes because I was like, I can't even imagine walking upstairs in peed in pants. Like this is horrendous.
Oh my God. Like, I love this new trend of people pissing and shitting themselves and telling the stories for us.
That's why I said no one would believe me because, like, when the story happened, it was just after the episode with Brooke came out.
Oh my God. That would have been so funny. It would have been like, Takenna, you're being a little try-hardy.
I know. So when it happened, I was like, I cannot believe this just happened. Like, this happened to me now. Like, seriously?
Oh my God. Yeah. So everyone knows if you have a really good story of pissing or shitting yourself, just let us know, hey, it's time for me to come back on the podcast again. And we'll let you on so you can dish that cringe.
But then my other story is yesterday in the dark after bedtime, I was moving the mulch bags from our lawn because we have a lot of mulch. And my husband didn't want it to kill the grass on our lawn. So I'm moving the mulch in the pitch black dark and I'm moving them to around the front of the yard. And my dog starts barking at me through the window. And I cannot get him to stop until I come back in the house. And he like is all ashamed of himself because he definitely thought I was an intruder.
Like, and then he's like, oh, fuck, it was mom.
Well, because he'll do that when I'm coming up to the house with the kids. And then he sees it's me through the window and he like runs away because he knows he's not allowed to bark at me. But he couldn't see me.
Such a doofus.
He ran upstairs and like hid with my husband and the kids who were reading a book because like he knew he was in trouble.
That's very cute.
I've been here all along. What? Tina, what's cringing you out this week?
I am going to play an Uno reverse on this cringe. Uno reverse. I received two text messages today. One from our friend Anna, who's been on the show before, reading her diary. I woke up 7:34. She texted me and said, I'm listening to your Valentine's Day episode and I'm fucking dying. LMFAO. Oh, 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 oh. It's making my mouth hurt because I can't stop smiling.
Aww.
And then later today, Mia in the girls chat said, yo, I know I've said this before, but burn before reading is an absolute triumph. Laughing at cringe material fuels my soul, and I laugh so hard at every episode.
Oh my God.
Courtney said, agreed. Mia said, obviously, I also love it because it feels like hanging out with my friends, but I really think more people would enjoy it. It could be huge. So Mia, tell a friend, tell somebody. These are already my friends. I've told them already. So you go tell your friends. Burn before reading could be huge. And these are friends who, let's just say, like, they're not going to listen to an indefinite podcast just to support me. Like, these are friends. You got to get them. You got to get their attention. So getting both those texts today really tickled me. I veto this cringe. I come at you with delights instead this week. Also, here, I'll throw in some cringe. My butt acne's been acting up lately. Ooh. There's something you didn't know about me, listeners. I have acne only on my butt. I have ointment for that.
Does Sean help you with it?
Absolutely not. To be clear, it's not technically acne. It's keratosis, like chicken skin, you know?
Yeah, I know.
I have it on my arms where nobody cares. But on my butt, everything on my butt, you know how they say, like, everything's bigger in Texas?
Yeah.
Everything's bigger on my ass. So the keratosis on my ass is different from the keratosis on my arms.
Yes.
Anyway, I'm ointmented. Don't worry. Leela, what's cringing you out this week?
I was looking through my Spotify playlists because I'm like a big playlist girly, and I was looking through to find something to listen to, and I went really far back, and then I stumbled upon something I sort of like forgot about, which was I wanted to get into rapping.
Oh my God, Leela.
Sorry. Apologize to everyone. Just
conceptually.
Just for having the ambition to think I can do so. Because I can rhyme well, and I listen to a lot of rap and hip hop, and I sometimes think I can do it. So
yeah, the thing is that, like, when it comes to rap, like, if you're singing and you don't hit the notes, then you're not singing. Rap doesn't have notes in the same way. It's like you have to be able to have this like sharpness and acuteness in your voice that, like, I can say the words and I can say them as fast as Childish Gambino, not quite as fast as Busta Rhymes, but like it doesn't sound like rapping.
No, you know what I mean? It's more to do with, yeah, like this, just this natural like swagger you have to have to your voice, like, yes, this natural like easy breezy, like not trying hard element, which is like obviously
the opposite of your MO.
Yeah. But I remembered a memory where I worked on this rap for like a while, and I found this beat on Spotify, and then I made Jason listen to it, and I was like really kind of expecting him to be like kind of impressed. Uh-huh. But he was just like, I just don't understand hip hop.
So wait, was this was like recently that you showed him?
But okay, not
a long
all.
Time ago.
I just found the My Beats playlist on Spotify. So okay.
So this was a time in your past when you live rapped for Daddy? Is that what I'm hearing? Okay. Okay. Well, that's great. And did you happen to record it?
I don't think so, because I have made that mistake before.
Well, how are we supposed to cover it then?
We're not going to. Maybe we can cover my rap from college, but well, it's on SoundCloud. I know it is, but I don't.
Okay.
I kind of wish there was rapping of like 12-year-old Leela.
Oh, with that little voice.
It would have been about Jesus.
Rapping about the Lord.
I remember I wrote a rap in college back when I was like selling drugs and I thought I was really cool. And I remember it started with the line, "Hey kids, it's that white girl," because that was like a euphemism for cocaine. So I thought it was like something about, "Do you want your head to whirl?" It was like a little like Candyman rhyme, but for selling drugs.
Do you want your head to whirl?
And I would rap that. That was back in the Elden days of people like pausing the music at a party to freestyle. So horrible. I'm thinking of you, Brandon. I know you're not listening. Fuck you. You used to stop every party in its tracks to freestyle for 30 minutes.
And nobody wants to listen to you freestyle.
30 minutes? Man. Oh my God.
That's too long.
It was horrible. It was horrible. That's the same guy who said he wouldn't sell me drugs. No offense, nothing personal. It's just that his dealings with women never work out.
Oh, so, my God.
I had to go through my boyfriend.
His dealings with women never work out. Oh, God.
Anyways.
My dealings with women, they work out pretty good.
The name of his memoir.
Dealings with women. What did you bring us today, Tekenna?
So today I brought a poem, Running Away. And it's from October of 2008. So I was 18 and a freshman in college when I wrote this.
Okay.
But
okay, cool.
I remember this. I might have written it earlier than when it was published on Facebook notes.
When it was published. Wow. Dot, on Facebook.
Because I know this was about someone from high school.
Okay, I gotcha. And just as a reminder, everyone, we described this in Takeda's first episode, but this whole, everything I will ever cover with her probably until she finds some more stuff is from this compilation, Musings of an Angsty Teen, that of all of these Facebook notes that she pulled into this document with all this poetry on it. There's no capital letters except for the word God, obviously.
Of course.
Like, just very, I mean, picture it, a Facebook note, but it's poetry. That's what we're looking at here.
I'm just shocked at the amount of, like, misspellings, given the fact that this was all typed originally.
Right, and it tells you when you're spelling something wrong. Yeah. All right, Tekenna, would you mind reading Running Away for us?
Yeah, okay. Running Away, which is not capitalized. It's very stylized. Okay. The smudged black eyeliner kind of looks like bruising. Breathe harder. Run faster. Reality is catching up to you. Clammy hands. Goosebump legs. It feels like a fever and looks like a crush. Soon you'll see what it really is. It's the realization that you failed again, that you hurt someone else, as your attention turns to someone new. It's the reaction to the harsh remark that you'll get bored soon, that it will never be the last time. It's the way you are. It's the hope you feel that this is the end, but you can't help but wonder if you'll break someone new, if you can't ever change. Push harder. Run farther. Don't ever look back. Maybe it's possible to ignore reality.
I do want to note that it says run farther.
Oh, it does. It says run farther.
Run oh farther. My God.
Push harder. Run farther. Don't ever look back.
So, Lila, what are your first impressions from Running Away?
I just kind of don't understand what's happening.
Valid.
So that's sort of my first impression.
I know someone who can tell us.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's great. Tina, what are your first impressions?
My first impression is kind of the same as you. Like, this definitely, it reads like something that was written in a time of emotion without a lot of thought about, like, what makes a cool, interesting poem.
It's really funny because this is the poem that when I start reading it, I think it's about one person. And then I get to a certain, I get to the third stanza and I realize it's about a different time. So I did write this in college.
Okay. Okay. And so were you running away? I guess let's do the big reveal. Were you literally running away from something?
This is, once again, it's about boys.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Would you believe?
And
would you believe that it's about boys?
This is about the fact that, like, so for the long, actually, no, for eternity, because the last person I dated, I married. Whenever I realized that I didn't want a long-term relationship with someone, I have either broken up with them or, like, convinced them to break up with me.
Sure. I'm familiar with the convince them to break up with me model, because then you get to be the victim.
It wasn't so convenient. Much about being the victim. Like, I wouldn't tell anyone that they were horrible or anything. I wouldn't talk about it at all. I just was really bad at not being nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't want to.
It's those people pleasing traumas coming back to get you.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
The worst thing, though, is that the person that I wrote, that I ended up writing this one about with the issue, is that it was my best friend that we started dating, and it was at the wrong time.
No.
But don't worry, so we're still friends now.
Okay, well, that's okay, good. Okay, good.
But
good,
only
good.
Because he's a really good friend.
I get it. Some people are just so good that you actually, like, can get through it.
No, it's not, you know, that I wanted to, like, get rid of him as a friend. Like, I was really, like, devastated that we weren't friends anymore after this. But, like, mm-hmm. and, like, I was totally awful to him. But he, I don't know, he got over it somehow. And, like, mm-hmm. was like, nope, not losing my friend of, like, well, now, like, we've known each other since I was 9. So it's been over 20 years that we've been friends.
Wow.
That's really cool. So what has happened?
Oh, so this was, I knew him because he lived across the street from my grandmother. So it was also a friend I only saw in the summers. So we didn't, like, live near each other. And then the summer before my senior year of high school, we actually went on a date because he found out I'd never been on a real date. So he took me on a date. And it was just, like, very G-rated. Like, we went to a movie, went on a date. And then I went, you know, home for school. Mm-hmm. And then I moved to Utah the next summer.
Oh, wow. So I have a question. Do you remember which movie you saw?
Oh, my God.
Very good question.
I have no idea.
Oh, man. Somebody that won't pay too much attention to the movie.
Except we weren't, like, making out or anything. I think I was just sitting there obsessing over whether or not he was going to, like, hold my hand or something, you know?
Oh, my God. Do you guys remember, like, the Elden days where you and your, like, date or, like, your crush or whatever would both just sit there with your hands, like, available to each other? But, like, it was, like, the getting there that was the trouble. At least for me, like, I was still very much, like, you know, like, a proper Southern girl. Like, I wasn't gonna make a move.
Yeah.
A lot of the time when I was younger, so there was a lot of just, like, waiting to be held.
Like, yeah.
You imagine my hand just in, like, a gesture, and that's me waiting for my hand to be held.
I mean, you gotta remember there's also the opposite of my arms are firmly crossed, so no one gets any ideas.
Oh my God, I just love all these vibes. So the first two lines, the smudged black eyeliner kind of looks like bruising, that's a Fall Out Boy lyric. Like, that is straight up not like literally, but like for
was
sure,
like, that's was a, I stealing that's a,
like that is, I'm trying to think, there's like a line, something about whatever, makeups on pillowcases or whatever.
Yeah.
That definitely has the energy. Breathe, breath harder, run faster.
What is
reality
breath?
Is catching up to you. And so is that reality catching up to you? Is that you realizing you don't want to be with this guy? And
no, I think it's more that I realized that I had fucked things up so colossally with my best friend.
Because you dated him.
Because I dated him, and then I was really shitty about it because, like,
yeah,
I was awful because, like, we started dating and I realized at the time I was like, I'm not sure if I want to be dating it. And it wasn't that I was like, oh, I don't want to be with him. It was that I was, you know, in my freshman year of college and I wasn't really that interested in being already in the, like, last relationship of my life, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that makes perfect sense.
That's what dating is. That, like, that's what dating was.
But when you start dating someone you've already known 10 years, like, it's like already a really serious relationship right from the start, because there's no getting to know you. You already know everything.
I think that's why I would, at least me, I have fucked a lot more friends than I've dated. And I think that is good, because it's like, hey, the feelings, they're staying right here.
Yeah.
But I am going to suck your dick.
Yeah. That's not possible for a lot of people, though, especially young women. Like, when I ever became involved in anybody sexually, even if I told myself it was supposed to be casual, like, I got really, 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 really hung up on them. And I
I dated guys like you. No, and I remember one of my friends that I was sleeping with in college, I remember he was like, where do you see this going? And I was like, you know, kind of whatever. Like, I wouldn't mind trying to, like, date you. And I remember him being like, ew, God, no, you're getting totally the wrong idea here. I'm not interested in that. And you're totally reading me wrong. And I was like, hey, man, you asked the question. Let's let's not do that. Because, like, I actually don't really care either way. I just thought it would be, like, a fun experiment.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's one time a guy told me he was kind of like he didn't say lone wolf, but he said something like that. He said something along the lines of, like, yeah, I might go out. I'm going out with my friends tonight. So, like, don't wake up. Or don't wake up. Wake me up inside. Yeah, don't wait up for me. And, you know, just so you know, we're not exclusive. I'm trying out new things. I'm kind of like, you know, like the Lone Ranger, like a free spirit.
Come on, sir.
And that really pissed me off because I didn't even care about him that much. And I was like kind of, I think I was fucking him out of convenience because he was in one of my classes and lived in my hall, like on the same floor. But he was a terrible person and I was already irritated at him. And then he said that. So then that night I went to a party and I slept with somebody. And then the next day, he said something like, what did you do last night? And I was like, oh, you know, I just went to that. I was like, I got ready with my girls. And then we went to that party and it was really, really fun. They kept playing Black and Yellow. You know, that's my jam. And then I went home and I slept with Kyle and then we got Taco Bell. And then after that, we watched some TV and he was like, wait, what? Excuse me? I was like, well, you know, I'm kind of a free spirit.
I'm kind of a lone wolf.
Kind of a lone wolf type, if you catch my drift. And he was like, that's not the same. But yo, slut. You know, classic.
But it was supposed to make you desperate for him. You know?
It made me so angry. It did the opposite. It made me so angry, I went out and immediately fucked someone else. It's like my sluttiest story.
That's why you just have to communicate, y'all. You just got to be cool and be real and, like, do you.
Don't, like, try to, like, be a character. Like, just be yourself. It's much better.
Man, the realization that you failed again, that you hurt someone else, that's, like, so sad to Kenna. So, like, tell me, like, were you... You wrote this poem. I assume you did not give this to him.
No, I think... I mean, it's on my Facebook.
Oh, my God. I keep forgetting you posted these on Facebook.
Like, public,
God,
you think?
Damn it. Yes, public. Everything was public back then.
You're right.
And, like, you were probably Facebook friends with him. So really? What? So what? He just read this and was like, I wonder who that's about.
So vague.
Oh my God. That's why they call it vague booking.
I never thought about that before.
Deeply not vague.
I don't know what I'm never going to ask him.
But like, do you remember talking to him about this? Like around the time you wrote this poem, do you remember being like, hey, I feel like I might have like fucked things up with us and like, you know what I mean? Like, did you ever level with him?
No, because I was so shitty.
And stuff just and, like, healed organically
so
over time.
We were dating. I was going to school like up in northern Utah and he was going to school in southern Utah.
Is there, like, a big difference between northern and southern Utah? I understand you're probably... Yeah, like, culturally.
I think southern Utah is more relaxed. Well, I was in Mormon Central.
Okay, so where he was like, less Mormon.
It's still very Mormon, but...
I do understand it's Utah.
No, so what I mean by this is there's 6 hours between the two driving.
I gotcha. And that's not easy for anybody. It's no. Let alone like a
oh no, it gets
a
worse.
Young couple.
It gets so much worse. So I would I was like, I don't know if I want to be in a relationship right now, but I don't know how to say that. And so I just kind of would be very wishy-washy and not like really engage with him. And he would come up to like see his family too, because I was like close to his family, but like to see me. And I would be like, yeah, I'm busy.
Goddamn, Takena. I mean, we've all been there. So when you say you were close to his family, you probably meant geographically, but like, since he was your good friend, were you like close to with his family?
Like, it's really interesting because we we were long distance friends, so I'm not like best friends with his family, but I know all of his family. Like I've met all of, I like before we started dating, I'd met all of his siblings. I, you know, I have his mom's phone number, like,
yeah. Okay.
His parents have watched me grow up.
So she could have called you and said, what are you doing?
Well, no. So like his sisters thought we were going to get married, like.
Because that was kind of like a cultural expectation, right? For y'all.
It was, right? But also from like, so he didn't want to date me, I think partially because I was not living in Utah, so it would have been a long distance relationship. And then because I was 2 years younger than him. Mm-hmm. So I think he didn't really want to start dating until like we were all adults because it was, yeah.
That's
like,
a good instinct.
Less complicated. Yeah, no, and then I was just really terrible, and I, like, I think when this happened, I was like, I realized that I'd done this, and I wasn't like, oh, I still want to be dating him, but it was that I have done this terrible, terrible thing to, like, my best friend in the world, and, like, treated him so shitty that to make him break up with me, because I didn't know that I wanted to break up.
Yeah.
And then, like, months later, I don't remember how, but we just started talking again. And, like, we kind of ignored the fact that we dated once.
Wow.
Because like, we only dated for, like, a month. So it wasn't, like, we didn't do anything serious. Like, it was easy to ignore and, like, get back to the friendship thing, so.
Well, that's good.
So, like, he was one of the groomsmen at my wedding, like.
Oh, that's really nice. I do understand what you mean, like, when you start dating someone who is, like, a truly good friend of yours, like, it is very hard to resist getting, like, so serious so quickly, because I've definitely been in that position before, and, like, as I mentioned, I have trouble with just fucking everyone I know, and so when I was in college, I fucked, like, my best friend in the world, and then because you just, like, already have this level of comfort with someone and then you kind of, like, elevate it, then it's like, okay, let's be dating very seriously now. And it's really easy to get in over your head that way because you're a different person in a relationship than you are, like, as a friend to someone. You just are.
Yeah. Like, there's shit that I tolerate with my friends that I would not probably tolerate in a partner, and probably vice versa, you know?
Yeah, totally, because it's different when you're trying to, like, Lila, I'm not going to follow you around your house being like, get all these socks up off the floor. Right. But like Sean needs to. Yeah.
And just stuff you notice about them that you like, it was just your friends. So you maybe like didn't realize like how like much you hate the way that they slurp soup or like just like little things that can kind of give you the ick the way that you don't get the ick if that you're just friends.
Yeah, I think I was getting really nervous when I was dating him because he is very outdoorsy, like a very, very outdoorsy person. And I was not, like, because I grew up in the suburbs, like, didn't really do any hiking and things like that much. And he did it all the time and loved it. And I think I was also just saying, I was like, I don't know if we're actually compatible for, like, a life together. Like, I think we'll get annoyed at each other. And it's funny is because, like, it's one of those things that I know it's fine. I like where my life ended up. Like, I don't want to change that. But it's one of those things that I'm like, we dated at the wrong time. Yeah. We needed to date later in life.
I think it's really normal to, like, even when you're happy, have those moments in your life where you are like, I could have gone a different way and, like, been a different person now.
But I had to not be with him and, like, have a bunch of the experiences I had in order to be at a place where we would have been a good relationship.
Yeah. And that just led you naturally in, like, a different direction ultimately, which is very interesting and, like, totally cool and fine.
But then it's also, I'm glad we broke up after just a month because now we're still friends. And I feel like if we dated for, like, 6 months, we wouldn't be.
Yeah, my bestie that I dated in college, we dated for 3 years. And when we broke up, well, I dumped him and he'll come on the podcast eventually. He's cool people. Spoilers for what I'm about to say. But it took us maybe like 3 or 5 years after breaking up to become friends again. But we always valued each other so much. And we both were such extremely, truly like good people. I'm saying that lovingly more about him than myself, and so like we really did it, like we still hold on to each other, but it took years and years. It took him really forming his own relationship with Sean for that to like solidify. And now when I hang out with them, they're just like roasting me. And I'm like, okay, guys, I'm glad you're friends. Glad you're friends. I'm going to go.
Yeah, this is the only friend that came and visited me when I lived in Germany.
Oh, that's awesome.
He went around with my husband and I to go like do to different places in Germany and see a bunch of different stuff. And that was like as you know, and like now he's married too. And I haven't been around him as much since he's been married, but like I've met his wife, we've hung out, and like she's cool too. And it's like one of those things that was just like, it's really nice because even though we don't talk very often, like because we're all busy with children, I still like he's still one of my closest friends, and it'd be really sad to like not have that. So I think this poem like really came from a place of thinking that I had fucked all that up and thrown away like my closest friend for a month of dating.
It's a lot of self-loathing in here in this poem.
Yeah,
we're not being very nice to ourselves, very self-punishing, flagellating, and I can tell that you still seem to carry a bit of guilt with you about whatever went down here. And maybe that's me just assuming.
It's probably true. I think because looking back at it, I'm still like, I knew I wasn't being a good person. Like, I knew I wasn't handling it correctly. And yet I did it anyway. And it's one of those things that it took several years from beyond that point to realize, like, the way I sometimes treated people was just not nice. And it didn't occur to me because in general, like people considered me such a nice person. And I was a really nice person, but that there was just some of my actions that were just very cruel.
Have you heard the expression that like nice and kind are different things?
Yeah.
That's so true.
And like, I totally like feel the same way about my younger self. And thank God we can, because that means we've experienced character development. But where it's like, I was very friendly, very cheerful, and like, it makes it easier for you to manipulate, honestly, when you have this role of being like a nice girl. It's the realization that you failed again, that you hurt someone as your attention turns to someone new. It's the reaction to the harsh remark that you'll get bored soon, that it will never be the last time. It's the way you are. Is this like a bit of like self slut shaming?
It is, which is really, really funny because I barely got into second base at this point. But and the thing is like this almost sounds like this is something someone else said to me, but this is all definitely internal thoughts that I said to myself.
Yeah. I mean, slut is in the eye of the beholder and, you know, to a recovering Mormon. So where were you in your Mormon journey at this point?
So I was my first semester at BYU.
Okay. So you were in it.
I had to be like for self-preservation. Yeah. So I was realizing like I didn't love being at church because I no longer had friends at church, but I don't think I thought about it that much. It was just something I did.
Yeah. So, I mean, to a Mormon, like that is slutty.
Yeah.
But it's also like a super normal and common like teen experience to like take something too far, get yourself into a pickle, hate yourself about it a little bit.
Well, I mean, it was very normal in the Mormon world, too, because everything was about the eternal perspective, like who is going to be your eternal partner.
And yeah, it's like it's pressure.
If this doesn't lead to marriage, you need to figure out someone else.
Is that what this line is about? It will never be the last time. Is that about like finding someone to marry?
I do think at that point, because this was like, so, yeah, it was one of my best friends. And I'd had a kind of crush on him since I was really young, and I was feeling at that point, I feel like if I didn't find what I was looking for with this person who is so nice and so good and like so like funny and perfect for me, like how am I ever gonna find someone that actually I want to spend my life with?
But just because friendship and romance are different, and we just didn't know it back then. We just didn't know.
And it's okay. I totally like can remember this feeling too, with like, I was like at one point dating a guy who like, I was really just not into like at all. Like I just really wasn't, he didn't get it going. Everyone was like, you're so perfect for each other. Height appropriate. And you know, like,
Oh, so he was 5'2"? Aren't
they so cute? Yeah, I know. Pretty much. Yeah, he was like 5'3 or 4 probably. You guys are so cute and pocket sized together. And his personality was kind of obnoxious and not obnoxious. It just like was, it gave me the ick. Like I got, there wasn't a term for it back
then. Dude, you just like cannot, sometimes the ick is inside of you. Like there's sometimes there's nothing you can point to at all except for like, God damn, the way that he flicks his mustache. Like, God damn, the way that he, and it's always a man in my experience. Like when you're ready to get out, everything is disgusting.
Yeah. And like, it can be somebody that even maybe all everyone around you is like, oh my God, you guys are together. He's such a nice guy. He's so good for you. Like, this is such a good relationship. But that's like an outsider perspective. Like, nobody knows how you really feel inside except for you. And I think that that is a perfectly valid way to feel. And I know that you felt like you were the worst and meanest person in the world to this boy, but I can promise you he's not thinking about it, and I think that you should not hold on to it. I mean, obviously you're holding on to it because here we are, but like don't hold on to it into a way like this mean voice, I don't like that to be in your head. I don't Lila want that in your like head.
Hearing people talk badly about her friends.
I don't like it. So yeah, I hope you can give yourself a little grace.
It's really funny because like I've had issues with like depression and anxiety since I was a teenager, and like I've told people, I'm like, no, my brain is really mean to me. And I don't think people will get it. Like, they'll be like, how can your brain be mean to you? You're you. You like yourself. And I'm like, I do like myself. My brain is also really mean to me sometimes. And this kind of, like, highlights it.
Like, I feel like acting like you don't understand my brain is mean to me, I feel like that's just being intentionally obtuse. Like, everyone's brain gets like that sometimes where it's like, wow, you're a fucking idiot. And you're like, I know, brain, I know.
I think that some people are able to immediately repress so quickly. Like, I really do. I think I have family members who would not understand if I was like, I'm depressed. Like, genuinely, they would be just like, don't I don't be really depressed. Know what that means. Why don't you just cheer up? You know,
I do think that, like, to an extent, like what you just described to kind of your brain being mean to you. Yeah. Like, I think that to an extent that's healthy because that's where shame comes from. And people who can experience shame. You can tell.
A little bit of shame is good. A tiny bit of shame.
You want your brain, if you do something really out of pocket, you want your brain to be like, well, that felt weird. Now I'm being perceived strangely.
Yeah.
And then it's like so hard because it's like when you do take an action like you did in this poem, then it's like you're really just hyper focusing on it. You're like circling it like sharks in the water. And like you just, it's so easy to just like spiral around like a thing that you did, you know, like,
no.
I guess what I'm saying is like, anxiety is hard enough, but then when your anxiety can point to something, Haley has always told me that the worst part of anxiety is that you are sometimes correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so like, it's almost like I wish you had someone to like take you to the zoo and like break you out of it. Like, come on, let's go think about something else. Girl, this poem was really upsetting that you posted publicly on Facebook.
It would take forever because I'd have to scroll all the way back through my page to 2008. But I almost want to see if this has any comments.
I was just thinking that. I was like, was anybody like, hey, you good?
No.
Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, we and Tina didn't really understand what it was about the first time, so.
But I think if I had known that she had just broken up with someone.
Yeah,
I don't think people did know, though, because I didn't
talk
to people about things. So, like, I feel like if anyone known we were dating, it would have been his family.
Okay.
And, like, other people knew I had a boyfriend, but he wasn't at school with me, so it wasn't, like, I don't think I told my family, like, hey, I'm dating this person.
Man, when I broke up with my boyfriend in my freshman year of college, and he went to school 7 hours away, he showed up.
Oh, wow.
Oh, he fucking showed up. People knew. I had to tell the RAs. Did I get into this already? I don't have to. I probably wrote a poem about it. But I had to tell the RAs, do not let this man in this building.
No, I mean, as I said, I was shitty enough that I got him to break up with me.
Oh, yeah. So how did you do that, if you don't mind?
I just kept ignoring him.
So he was like, why am I doing busy this?
And he was like, I don't think that this is working. Like,
and you're like, oh, what? Oh, no.
And I think I was sad that my unconscious, half unconscious plan worked. Like, I was like, oh, I didn't really want to break up, but I didn't know how to be dating. And like, it's one of those things that like, I never dated. Like, I was never a big dater. And like, it was never presented to me. Like, I had friends who dated, but even most of my friends in high school that weren't Mormon didn't date a ton. And so I never, like, this, like, oh, you go out on dates with people wasn't a thing to me. It was like, oh, you meet someone, you're in a relationship, and then you try to see if you want to get married or not.
Yeah, I'm sure it was hard. And then also, like, not having people to turn to for advice and not having examples of how to, like, deal with feelings, that must have been really hard and isolating.
Well, I feel like at this point, I wasn't really asking people for help, because when I tried to tell my mom that I was depressed, like in high school, she like gave me the advice of like reading the scriptures and praying.
Mm-hmm. And how did that work? Did that cure it?
I didn't do it, actually. Like, I didn't even try it.
To kind of, you could have totally cured it. You
could, that's why.
Like, somehow, even at that point, I was like, that's bullshit.
I mean, that's extremely valid.
I think at that point, because I'd asked her, because I'd seen a bill from a therapist, which I now realize was a couples therapist, but I wanted her to get me into therapy, but I didn't want to say that. I wanted her to suggest it to me.
Why?
So that it wasn't my idea.
But why?
Because I was 16 and that's, I didn't
want to say you wanted to be in therapy, but you didn't want to be like, hello, I need therapy.
Yeah.
I understand. I mean, I don't, but I would have at the time.
If I had said that, they might have told me to talk to our bishop, which would have been horrible. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I didn't ask people for help.
Oh, God, you have to get your children therapy outside the church. Yeah. Please, please.
Cannot emphasize that enough. It doesn't matter how nice or knowledgeable that even if they're an LCSW.
What is that?
That's a licensed social worker. That's
my brain was in church mode, and I was like, licensed priest. Like, what are we doing?
Well, so like for Mormons, it's really bad because our local clergy aren't even like licensed clergy. They're just people from the congregation they've picked to be in charge.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and like, it could be anyone. Like, that's like a part of your community. Like, that to me, that feels like going to therapy with like my dad's friend.
Yeah.
And like, I'm actually not going to tell you how I'm feeling right now.
Well, and that would have been it, because all of the like ones that I had when I was pretty much the whole time I was growing up, because I was in the same congregation, had known me since I was like 3 years old.
Yeah, that's weird. That's
like, I'm not going to talk to them.
Like, and especially like, I'm sure you guys have experienced this feeling of people who have known you your whole life think things are true about you that are no longer true.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So like, that's just fucked up from like a perspective, yeah. Because like, I think part of the joy of going to a therapist is going and being like, you know, like, hello, third party who does not know any of the people I'm about to explain to you, like, listen to my perspective only. And so like, to have a community member that knows your family and all your friends playing that role is extremely fucked up. It's a huge conflict of interest.
Yeah, like, people try to like put it as this, oh, they're a trusted person, you know, you should be comfortable talking to them because you know they're a good person.
But like, what is trust?
It's like, yeah, but if this is a serious issue or whatever, like, I also know one of them, when a girl went to him and was like, yeah, I got pregnant and was like seeking like counseling and stuff. Like, I don't know if I'm pretty sure he overheard, but one of his sons overheard her telling him, and then he told everyone. And it was like,
oh my God.
So within like a day, everyone knew this girl was pregnant, and it's just
ruined her life.
Yeah, that's so upsetting. Well,
I mean, she's still married to that guy, and they have a ton of kids, they're doing married. Good.
Okay.
I think they're not Mormon anymore. Like, Well, he was never Mormon, but like she's still with him.
Well, good for her.
Yeah.
I hope they're happy. But goddamn, that sounds terrible.
But I think in youth group, it was really, really bad for her for a while.
Yeah, no shit. Children and are so then terrible. It's like,
so then it just becomes like, don't tell anyone anything because everyone will find out and it will be awful.
And then let's just reiterate that we're talking about a church here. Children have to be able to tell people things.
This is very bad advice. Tell people things. Talk to people. Talk to a good, nice adult. Ask for therapy. God.
That's the thing is, like, you cannot tell your children who a trusted adult is. The child has to, like, feel that way.
I mean, it's interesting because, you know, as a parent, like, you have to think about all the time about being that trusted adult.
Yeah.
Like, how do I, like, I can't tell them to trust me. I have to be that person that they can trust.
Yeah, and sometimes, like, just, you know, just from experience as being a kid, like, sometimes that's not enough because you're just their parents. So I look forward to the day my niece runs away to my house. I'll be here.
Like, there's definitely things you can't tell your parent, even if they're super awesome. Like, just because you're scared, yeah. They're going to react away.
Yeah, your parent is your parent, and there's just, like, a certain tension there always, no matter what
yeah.
you do.
Yeah, and it's even, like, even to the point there's certain things that I know that, like, would just hurt my mom, you know, for no reason, but like unproductively. Like it wouldn't go anywhere. Yeah. It would just hurt her and damage our relationship. Family members are not therapists. end of statement.
Yeah. Also, Uno reverse on the moms. As a reminder, your eldest daughter is not your therapist.
Oh my God. So true.
Speaking of moms who need therapists, I'm going to reiterate this, my favorite line, run harder, push father.
Push harder, run father.
So funny. Don't ever look back. Maybe it's possible to ignore reality. Oh, Takena, you were so sad.
I was. I was in such denial all the time, on purpose.
On purpose. I choose denial. Active denial.
That's true. Like, it was just a constant choice. And it got worse. Like, the denial got worse. And I, like, there was at one point that I was like, I'm going to go on a Mormon mission. And, like, I don't know if you know what that is. But, like, for girls, I would be gone. At that point, I would be gone for a year and a half. And I would teach other people about Mormonism.
Okay. Because I was so deep in the denial. Book of Mormon.
Yeah. I'd be one of those people. And, like, because I was so deep in the denial that I was like, maybe if I teach other people about it, I will want to be in this church.
They do say that you only know for sure that you understand a subject when you can teach it to others.
Which is funny because now being out of it, I know that's what the missions are about, is to keep young people in.
Yeah. Give them like a sense of a feeling of agency over the religion.
Yeah.
But they actually don't.
No.
Well, they call them elder as their title and they're like 18.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
I only know like base level stuff about Mormonism, but what year did Brigham Young like find his book or whatever? Was that during like Westward Expansion?
Joseph Smith.
Oh. Wait, who was Brigham Young?
Brigham Young is the second prophet. He's the one that took them to Utah.
So the first guy, where was he?
He was in New York.
Okay, wait, this is all coming back to me now. I think I learned this on a Behind the Bastards episode.
It's really funny. He was actually a treasure hunter.
Okay.
And that was not going great for him, being a grifter. So he decided to become a religious grifter.
That explains why he was on Behind the Bastards.
Yeah. And he, like, said he found golden plates and a sword in the side of a hill. And it's Hill Cumorah, and it's up at State New York. And yes, I've been to the Hill Cumorah pageant, and it's a weird Mormon thing.
Wow.
But then, yeah, so then he was translating this book by looking at rocks in a hat.
So he was tripping on magical mushrooms.
No, I think he was just faking it.
Like, yeah, he's just a liar.
He's legit.
Because
scammer.
That sounds like the kind of thing that you would do in all seriousness if you were tripping on magical mushrooms.
There's like some evidence to show that he probably plagiarized a large portion of the Book of Mormon, but yeah. Sure.
When did Brigham Young take them out west? This is all part of a joke I was trying to say a long time ago.
When When did
she's Mormons googling it? She's not a good Mormon go anymore. We love that for you, Takena.
1847.
Okay, so the joke was that they call their children elders because on their way out to Utah, everyone was dying of dysentery. Nobody made it past 25.
So it's really funny because actually during Joseph Smith's time, they sleekly brought in polygamy. And during Brigham Young's time, they openly brought in polygamy. And one of the reasons we were given for it in the modern day was because husbands kept dying and they needed to marry someone to be able to take care of them.
Husbands, well,
why not the wives?
Get over it, husbands.
When it's like that explains why Joseph Smith married women and under 15-year-olds and.
Ooh, ooh, yep, they'll be around for a long time to take care of my bitch ass.
Yeah, I actually have family members that traveled across the United States with the Mormons back in the 1800s. But
whoa, that's kind of cool. History's fun.
History's fun. It's I got a lot of colonization in my history, so it's yeah. it's a fun double-edged sword that I'm like, oh, this is really cool that I get to know this. Also, my family was kind of shitty.
Leela, do you have any like final thoughts about running away?
No. I mean, I'm glad that your path changed because it eventually brought you here to us.
Yeah.
And we both think you're a really awesome person.
Yeah, you're the first person to hit 3 guest spots on this show. Oh, wait, really? Is that right? Maybe Haley beat you. Let me see.
I think Haley's only been
Brooke
twice.
And Haley, Haley, oh, yeah, and lying. Haley. Oh, Haley beat you. I'm sorry. But she really like, counts. She's on everything.
I am an honored to be in the same club with Haley.
Takena, do you have any final notes about running away?
I see how you could not understand what this is about at all if you don't know me, my head, and my thoughts.
Yeah.
It's just a bunch of words.
I feel you. But that's also like what poetry is like. Poetry is a great tool for like obfuscating what you're feeling. It's a great tool for describing what you're feeling, but also making it so no one else knows what you're talking about.
Also, yeah. I should have made you guys guess what it was about way more because that was funny on making
Oh, you're right. Okay, well, we'll keep that in mind for future episodes. If we don't know what the poem is about, then we get to guess.
Yes.
I think the line, feels like a fever, looks like a crush, is pretty good.
It's so like Paramore Fallout Boy.
Feels like a fever and it looks like a crush.
It's really, yeah. really funny because I can tell now my face just gets really flushed all the time. Like... Well, my really? Son has inherited this trait. Like, I don't know if you can tell. So my face
it literally
is all pink
feels
and
like
warm.
A fever.
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
Takena, do you think that this piece, Running Away, is horny, sad, or just plain bad?
It is so, 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 so sad. And also, now I'm very honored because I was compared to Paramore and Fall Out Boy.
I'm going to go sad too. Pretty fucking sad. Full sad.
I'm gonna round it out for a very sad trio. Triple sad.
Have we done a full sad yet?
No, this is our full first sad. Full sad.
Full sad. Just so crying. Sad, full sad. Full sad. Oh my God. Takena, thank you so much for coming on yet again to tell us some more stories from your very interesting past. We love chatting with you.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun reliving this part of me that's no longer really who I am, but, you know, still there.
She's inside of you. Like a Russian doll, just waiting. That's it for Burn Before Reading.
Until next week, remember,
your cringe is part of you, like a Russian nesting doll.
Yeah, but only a small part of you.
The tiny little doll inside the last one that you cannot open her.
The wee one.
This podcast was created by me, Christina Kahn.
Hosted and produced by Christina Kahn and me, Leela Hilton.
Follow me online at Christina Kahn and buy my book, Indie Book Publishing from Start to Finish.
After you bought Tina's book, follow me online at Leels for Reels.
Our theme music was produced by Sakura Wishes.
And our logo was designed by Michael Hardison. Follow Michael on Instagram at RoyGBiv or check out his work at wildlingpress.com.
Thanks for listening, friends.
See you next time.
Dave X Media.